What's up, everybody? And thank you for listening to another episode of the Hella Tired Podcast. This week, I have the illustrious Lexis Chardet as my guest. She's amazing. She's got a whole bunch of good stuff to talk about. We just did a photo shoot involving crystals and yoga and stuff, and so I feel very empowered right now. I feel very zen, baby. But yeah, so the episode's great. You're going to love her. New with me, it's been a little while since I released an episode, so I do apologize for that, man, especially the people that are, you know, subscribing and donating to the podcast. I really do apologize for the lack of episodes lately. Going through a transitional phase, you know, but it's all good. It's a good one. You know, my podcast is lacking, but everything else is not. So yeah, I'm here to rebalance shit, you know, so I do apologize. But since we've last talked, I have just done so much comedy. I love it. Keep doing it as much as possible. I at the Kearley Yearly Awards, I won Best New Male Comic. It was very cool. And Savannah Hernandez won the Best New Female Comic. And I believe she's on episode 43? I can't remember. But yeah, so that was really cool. Got a show tonight at Charlie Trumbull's in Tempe. So if you're listening to this right now and it's Saturday night, come out to Tempe. $10. Stacked lineup. Very cool venue. I'm very excited to play there. Got some dates that I definitely want to address here. But first, I want to make sure that everyone knows how much I appreciate the literal continuous support of my stand-up and the live podcast episodes. It's been such a fun time. If you haven't listened to the live episode yet, it is the one before this one. So go ahead and take a listen. If you like that format, go ahead and, you know, let me know that you love it. In other news, I got accepted to the Bird City Comedy Festival this year, 2020. It's going to be fucking amazing. March 26th through the 28th here in Phoenix, downtown Phoenix, Arizona, my home state. So I'm very excited to be a part of some very good names, including Zach Lyman, Eddie Pepitone, JT Hartsbeat, Savannah Hernandez is on there too, Peter Jordan, who you've heard on the podcast, just a whole bunch of bangers. And there's a whole bunch I didn't name, obviously. There's a thousand bangers on this fucking lineup, dude. Bird City Comedy Festival, March 26th through the 28th. But more recently, Charlie Trumbull's tonight. February 7th, I'll be at the Bench Bar in Tempe, Arizona. February 18th, I'm at the House of Comedy for a roast battle in Scottsdale, Arizona. We got February 19th, I'm at the Boycott Bar in Phoenix. And then February 22nd, Aguila's Hideaway in Avondale, Arizona. And then on February 26th, I'm at the Grid, Games and Growlers. I'm headlining that show, and that's in Mesa, Arizona. It's very cool. February 28th, I'll be at Lovecraft, downtown Phoenix. And finally, March 1st, I'll be at the Tempe Improv for another installment of Sundays Are Tight with Mike Enders and Bubba McComb. We had a very successful show last time, and this one's going to be just as fucking good, if not better. No, it's going to be better. There's no way it's not going to be better. We already got a whole bunch of other shit going on with that show, so it's going to be fire. The lineups are consistently amazing. I'm so excited to put together a show for you guys. It's going to be fucking awesome. So if you want to support, head over to the website, bubbamacomb.com, and keep up with the shows. Follow me on Instagram at bubbamacomb or sadboyshinobi, sadboyshinobi. Now, please, enjoy the intro and the episode. I'm your host, per usual, Bubba McComb, a.k.a. Sad Boy Shinobi, a.k.a. the Carpet Crawler, a.k.a. the Wobbly Wonder, a.k.a. your mom's favorite Christmas present. Today, I'm joined by a very illustrious guest. She is a wonderful comedian and actor here out of Arizona, and I perform with her quite a bit, so I can tell you that she's really fucking cool, and that's why she's on this goddamn podcast. So everybody, if you're sitting in a room where it's appropriate, please, please put your hands together for Miss Alexis Chardé.
Hello, Bubba. I am hella tired.
Me too. It's, you know what? I feel like the name is too appropriate. I don't know how we're going to sit. We're sitting very awkwardly right now. I'm going to have to hold mine too.
I really want to make eye contact with you.
I know, me too. Every day I'm tired. You know, there's not a day that I'm not tired. And I think everyone gets tired eventually. So, you know, when you say I'm hella tired, it's just like, yeah, you know, if you're not right now, you're going to be. So you might as well just accept that you're in a perpetual state of hella tiredness.
Definitely.
Anyways, guys, for those of you who don't know Alexis, she's wonderful, and we're going to get into her life. We're going to get into her comedy workings. We're going to get into everything. But first, let me make sure I promote up motherfucking front. Actually, I'm going to let you promote it. Now, she has a wonderful podcast called Life Coaching Comedians. I have been a guest on that podcast. We had a great time. It is a improv style podcast where Alexis plays the role of a life coach and takes the different comedians through different scenarios and gets their takes on a whole bunch of different stuff. It's very entertaining. There's video versions of it, so you can see all of the madness unfold. She's very professional, and I love it very much. So please announce the live podcast and give them all the details up front so they have to come.
Should I do it as Alexis or in my life coach character?
You know what? For the listener, because this is nonverbal, let's do the life coach character. So, without further ado, I present Miss Alexis Chardé, life coach comedian.
Well, hello, Bubba.
Hi.
Have you been aligning your chakras?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been working on your anxiety? I'm sorry, we're not here for that right now. What I'm here to talk about is our live event, March 15th, that's a Sunday, at Stir Crazy Comedy Club.
Yeah, yeah.
Where Bubba, along with seven other very enlightened comedians, or on their way to being enlightened, will be joining me on stage, sharing their stories on how I have changed their life.
And you've changed my life so significantly, Miss Life Coach. And I just want to thank you. And I don't think a thank you is enough, but I will say it every time I see you. You've changed my life thoroughly, and I really do thank you.
It is thoroughly my pleasure.
So, yeah, March 15th, everybody. Don't be a fuck. Stir Crazy Comedy Club, Westgate, Glendale, Arizona. Tickets are $20, so reserve a seat because it will fill the fuck up. This is going to be a great event. This is going to be wonderful. So thank you so much for having me a part of the live event, not only as your podcast, but as a live performer. And, you know, we're not going to reveal too much, but you're going to probably want to be there for how this thing is set up. It'll be the first one, right?
Mm-hmm. First live? First one. Okay. I'm really excited about
now,
it.
Now, you've been doing your podcast, though, Life Coaching Comedians, for how long?
It has been a year.
Woo! So she's about to drop season 3 mm-hmm. in March.
Yep. March 5th is going to be the first session with Mr. Mike Turner.
Michael Turner, man. What a great guy. Mm-hmm. Shouts out to Mike Turner for making that big move, big daddy dick. But then you have other comedians coming up that have been alumni of my podcast, Peter Jordan, coming up in the new season, mm-hmm. which you may have seen him, I think, episode 47. That's my boy, dude. That's a fucking white-eyed devil. We're going to have to get another round of Peter Jordan on here. But Lexi got him. And the previous season, you got a whole bunch of good people. Steve Urise, mm-hmm. which is, many people don't know who he is. And I'm sure he'll make his way on this podcast eventually. But
he'll be at the live event, too.
You just don't, like, you look at him and you're like, oh, okay, I feel like I know this guy. But you do not. Like, that's one of the people I was so wrong about.
Yeah.
He's proven me wrong time and time and again. So if you like a good, strong character, a good improv, breath of fresh air for comedy, please make sure you give attention to Life Coaching Comedians. Available on YouTube,
and you know,
for
Steve
sure, right?
Is like, he has like a crazy talent when it comes to play on words. And I'm a sucker for play on words.
Okay. So he's good with it.
He's really good with it. To the point where it takes you a second to like get it. Because he's just so
the
off
deep
top.
Cuts, huh?
Yeah.
And Steve's also a comedian from Phoenix. So we're all just out here. And that's the premise of Alexis' podcast, Life Coaching Comedians. And we are all fucked up. And on my episode, Most of it was not improv, so that really shows you how fucked up things can get.
I thought the whole thing was improv.
No, there's only like one part of that thing where it wasn't real, which is concerning.
It's like, Bubba's fucking with me.
Nah, man. Pretty crazy. But anyways, moving on. Now, one thing, I've had plenty of conversations with you at length, but I've never gotten to like know your story.
Yeah.
I don't even know where you're from originally. I feel like I found out, but I don't want to say the wrong thing. I feel like you're from Oregon.
Yep. Correct.
Okay, so I got
ding,
that
ding,
right.
Ding. What do we have for him, Johnny?
Wow, everybody. So you're from Oregon originally. How long was it until you moved here? Or just tell me, give the people some depth. Like, I want to know. I'll interrupt you as we go, but
so I
give it to them.
I was born and raised in Oregon. I went to college. I got my degree there.
Oh, shit. OSU?
Well,
I don't fucking know how trashy you are, dude. That's what I'm saying.
No,
give me some context.
I was a duck.
Oh,
yes.
Shit. You fancy, huh?
I was a sacred Phil Knight child.
Okay, so I don't even know what that is, but I'm sure
Phil Knight,
no one
owner
else
of
on
Nike,
this podcast
he loved
does
us
either.
So much, and okay. Every year he bought and started a new building at the campus.
You're,
it's crazy.
You're right, man. It was pretty rampant in the news about how Oregon, that was like the first team to really get it like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
OSU
cool.
Gets a little bit, but they like get like, you know, our leftovers.
Oh yeah, for sure. The spoils. Yeah.
Yeah.
They get like Reeboks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They're like, oh, okay. Well, Nike won't fuck with us, but.
But yeah, so I was, I got my degree, my BA in digital arts.
Nice.
And I minored in broadcast communication. So I actually started in radio.
Okay. Yeah. Have you been a radio host before?
Yeah. I was a DJ. I had my own radio show, college radio, and then I went to like the city radio station,
yeah,
like the hip hop station, yeah. And then okay. I moved to LA.
Give me a little taste of what a radio station hosted by Alexis Chardet
so
sounded
like.
I was
the weather girl.
Okay,
like
cool.
I did the morning board and I announced the weather.
I know it's seared into your memory. I want a fucking example.
Well,
dude.
It rained so much, so I would just be like, "Hey, this is Lex Luthor with 98.9 Jams, and
Lex
guess
Luthor.
What? It's gonna rain today. A little bit of drizzle. So make sure you bring those umbrellas and stay dry, duckies."
Very hip hop, very cultured.
Yeah. I added a little bit of white twist on there. I was probably like, yeah.
Duckies. Yeah, that's the white twist. You being in Oregon is the white twist.
For sure.
So like they would let you say like drizzle and stuff. They let you a little, get you a little.
Yeah, I could say whatever I want as long as I wasn't cussing, you know?
Yeah. I just know like, I just feel like I don't know anything about radio, but I feel like that's the area where you were so goddamn restricted that like drizzle dude, really? Like I feel like that's what would happen if you said drizzle on the radio. Yeah. But I'm just so wrong about most things in life, so I'm a learner though. So if you can say drizzle on the radio, and I guess I don't know, I don't even
I mean
know
I was referring to
rain
and rain
of
if
course.
I was referring to something else and maybe
of course but
it is
Ebonics though.
Yeah,
and you know we don't like that shit. You say rain, you don't confuse me. Snoop Dogg coming to town, drizzling, I don't know, shit. Anyways, okay, so you were a radio host in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And what made you say fuck that? Because obviously you don't do that currently. You have your own podcast, your own format of it, but what made you get out of that?
I didn't really ever say fuck that. Like, I love radio. Like, if I had the opportunity to do a radio show now, I'd probably still do it. I just like podcasting more because there's no restrictions you can say. It truly is free speech,
know.
You know?
It's crazy.
But honestly, I got laid off from the radio station. They weren't getting enough, money from advertisements.
Okay.
I heard that the owner was a little selfish and...
Are you about to say Jew?
No, I wasn't going to say Jew.
I feel like you're about to say Jew, dude.
I would say Jew if he was a Jew. I have no problem talking about Jews. I've been considering for a few years now about converting to Judaism.
Yeah, just so you could really go in on Jews?
No, because if you look in Hollywood
uh-huh.
and all the comedic actors that are really killing the game,
right.
Judd Apatow,
yeah.
Jewish.
Yeah, but is
Seth
he a converted
Rogen,
Jew?
Jewish. No,
I think you had to live
that
shit.
Do you think Tiffany Haddish is a born Jew? I think that bitch converted out of a business move.
Hey, look, I don't know, man. I'm
just
saying,
blew up
look,
out of nowhere.
I just don't think like you change your name to like, you know, Bernstein and you're automatically like financially savvy.
No, but
you know
I'm saying
I mean?
If I'm in with the Jews, I go visit LA.
If you're in with
I
the Jews,
I go to the temple,
okay,
right?
Okay,
and they're like,
okay.
Oh, you're a comedian. Oh, you're Jewish. Fuck yeah, I'm
right.
going to put you in my
oh,
film.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I feel
I
like
see what you mean.
That's the step I need to make to really make my dreams come
okay,
true.
Okay. Now,
can you just say you're Jewish and not be fucking
no,
Jewish?
No, I'm going to have to learn words and shit. Yourself? Okay, so no, I have one of my really good friends. She's one of my best friends. She comes from a Pakistani family. She's half Pakistani, half white, right?
She's your friend.
She's gorgeous. She's from Detroit. Don't mess with her. She's from the dirty.
I don't want to. I want to mess with her, dude. She's half Pakistani, half white, from
she's
Detroit.
Married.
And she's.
Let me finish the story, bro.
Okay. So don't gotta ruin it for me. She's married. Okay. Jeez. Can't avoid
dream.
So
her husband is from Israel.
Ooh, okay.
And they got married, right? And they had a baby. I call their baby World Peace. But because it was so important to his family, she converted to Judaism. And she did all the classes and learned all, you know, the Hebrew words and poems and prayers and shit.
Okay.
If she can do it, I can do it.
That's dedication.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, if it's for, like, the family's sake, I back it. You know, go ahead, convert. Say you're Jewish. Learn all the stuff. You know, but we all know if you don't really believe in it, it don't count for anything.
Well, I don't know because, you know, I grew up Christian, and I hold some of those beliefs still today. But Jesus was a Jew. So if you're a true follower of Christ, you become Jewish.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you really, really were about that shit.
Yeah.
And it confuses me about how people, you know, just are so definitive about their belief. It's like, well, there's a little more logic.
Yeah.
Leads to a different religion.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a pyramid of religions, you know? It's like, oh, this one makes the most sense historically. Mm-hmm. And then everything else is just a derivative of like, well, I saw this.
Yeah.
Well, I saw the burning bush.
It's like the news. It's like people.
Without cell phones though.
No. You know, when the news reporters in the street go and they interview like people what they saw. Yeah. That's like what religion is. Like everyone has a different story.
But someone was just writing really slow.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
They couldn't fucking type it down
it
or
reminds
record
me
it.
Of that scene in like Monsters Inc. when they're like, yeah, I saw him and he squirted me with his one eye. Yeah. And it was like that's not what happened at all.
I feel like religion is just the most fucked up game of telephone to ever exist.
It really is.
You know what I mean?
It really
it's like
is,
hold up, dog. How did we get to Jesus Christ being the Son of God?
Yeah.
But it's okay, though. Honestly, religion does a lot of good for a lot of people, and a lot of people really need that structure of belief. They don't know what to feel or what the feeling is to not believe and be comfortable, so I get it.
I think there are good things to religion, but I think when it comes to people knocking down other religions or saying other people's religions are wrong, that's when it becomes a problem, you know?
Yeah, but here's the thing, you know, every religion is faith-based, so everyone can't say they're right. It's based on faith. So to say it's wrong is just as wrong as to say it's right.
Exactly.
So it's just like, it's just a never-ending argument. It's just...
it's your personal
It's a world I wouldn't like to exist in, you know? Yeah. And even when, like, some people... I've gotten into some conversation with people who really believe, like, strong faith Christians. I've gotten them all the way down to them admitting, like, well, that's what faith is, believing in what you don't know. I'm like, okay, so... You're saying you don't know then. Finally, you said you don't know. And it took me like an hour to get them there. And that pissed them off so bad. I'm like, your faith isn't even strong enough to make you feel like you know. You admit that it's still, you know? So I'm like, okay, cool. Well, that's the last argument I ever needed to have with someone religious. And it's okay. Like, go do your thing. Religion usually keeps people in line, so fuck it. But if you don't need it, don't chastise people for it. And if you have it, don't make fun of people who don't need it or don't want it, you know?
Exactly.
You don't need to save anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the annoying part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hey, just chill the fuck out, dude.
Yeah. Save yourself, bro.
Yeah.
Work
on yourself and make sure that you are who you need to be when someone actually fucking needs you.
I think working on yourself is the best way to, quote unquote, save somebody.
Yeah,
setting that example of how to live your life, how to take care of yourself, how to put you first.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. This is even like a small example. Like I walk, you know, in front of a homeless person at like 20 years old. I'm like, fuck this fool. Like, what a waste of time. Yeah, I was just such. I mean, I really, really was an asshole. Like when I was young, and now just through changing and through self reflection, you can do a whole lineage of things. I'm just like, okay, man. Like I get it. Like. Whatever. And I'll give them $1 sometimes. But something as simple as that, it's just like you can change the way you treat people no matter what you believe. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, it's not that fucking hard, dude. Just accept everybody for who they are. Unless they're an asshole, then you got to beat their ass, dude. And there's no way around it.
Their ass.
Physical destruction.
Yes.
But anyways, okay, so... After your radio thing, you got laid off, weren't getting enough funds for advertisement, whatever the bullshit thing they spun on you, whatever. Did you go right back into getting another radio job or trying to, or did you just call that good?
That was really the only like radio station that broadcasted from Eugene. So I grew up in Eugene, which is about an hour and a half.
Gorgeous, huh?
Yeah.
Dude, I've only seen pictures, but that is the place I want to visit when I go.
You gotta go.
Portland, of course. Stop in, be cool. But like, I want to go Eugene pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta go soon too. It's been changing a lot, but go soon. That was really the only like station that was broadcast straight out of Eugene. There was a couple others, but it was like, you know, AM sports radio and like jazz stations. So that was like the only one that really had radio personalities. And we even broadcasted what was called the Playhouse from Portland to our station. So there wasn't really a whole lot of like radio station gigs going on in Eugene.
That's weird. I mean, Eugene's a pretty big city though. Yeah. For as long as
it is. Yeah, it is now. I mean, the college radio is pretty big there. I didn't do radio for a while. I can't remember exactly how old I was or what grade I was in when I was doing it.
Too much drugs?
No, I actually didn't do really any drugs in college.
That's good. You got a proper college experience.
Like alcohol.
Yeah,
alcohol, a little weed.
There you go.
So after I graduated, I ended up moving down to LA, which was nothing I ever thought I was going to do.
Okay. Did you move out there for something, or are you just a...
Yeah.
what the fuck?
I kind of moved out there for a guy. I did apply to graduate school.
Okay.
And that school was really unorganized. I didn't get in, but they didn't tell me until like 3 weeks before the semester was going to start. So I was already planning to move down there.
It's easy to talk shit when you didn't get accepted, man.
No, I'm serious though. It was like 3 weeks before. So me and my roommate at the time, he was already moving to LA.
Okay.
So that's not the guy I moved for, but we were planning on just going together. We've been friends since like sixth grade. So he's like, let's just go, whatever, move down there anyway. Like, you need to get out of here. And he's lived like in LA and Vegas. So he's kind of been around a little bit already. And he was like, you need to go somewhere else. And I'm like, okay. So I found out like a few weeks before moving that I wasn't getting in. So I kind of just went down there, had like $500 in my pocket and like figured that shit out.
You went to LA with $500
and
just figured, all right, well, cool. Yeah. Was he financially assisting?
My roommate,
at least a little bit?
In the beginning, because like what happened was we moved in to this apartment where the guy was subletting his rooms.
So the guy that you moved down for was subletting?
No. The guy, this story has nothing to do with him. That never happened anyway. But my roommate, I call him like my brother. His name's Nick.
Is he gay?
Is he gay?
Yeah.
No, he's very straight.
Probably breaks his heart, dude.
No.
Just stop calling him brother. Just stop, call him Nick, dude. All right.
No, he's like engaged and everything. He's always been like a brother to me. He was the guy that my dad wanted me to date, but that was never gonna happen. Like when we first became friends, like in grade school, like I totally had a crush on him. But we were like best friends, and I know like all of his dirt. And
Ew. Oh, okay. So
it was one of those situations.
I understand that. I understand that.
Like we lived together for like 2-3 years.
I was like, what happened?
Yeah. Like very early in life. I was like, no.
All right, cool. Yeah. Cool. At least you knew right away.
Yeah.
And he knew right away probably too then.
He always treated me like a little sister. And I think my dad probably pulled him aside a couple times when I was in high school and was like, you know, look out for her kind of a thing.
Right.
Because I remember when I would hang out with like certain guys, he'd be like, hey, no, don't hang out with him. He's bad news. You know, like he was always looking out for me.
Okay. Shout out to Nick.
But Nick is cool.
I'll accept.
So he found this apartment in Marina Del Rey. And the guy was subletting two rooms.
It sounds expensive.
It was. And one of the rooms wasn't quite available yet. So him and I shared a room for a month because the other guy was going to move out. And then I moved into that room.
Okay.
So it was like, it was a little bit.
You had your own rooms in LA?
Yeah, we
That's
had our own rooms.
That's pretty pimp, dude.
And then we ended up getting a different place a couple streets down. It was a 2-bedroom, 2-bath.
Yeah.
And we lived there. And it was dope. We were on the third floor. We could see the beach from our patio.
Now, is that when you started selling cocaine out there?
No.
Before that?
No,
Okay, so now at what point does this comedy tie into all this then? Is that just something you just wanted to start doing? How long have you been involved in it?
So how the comedy started was, so classic LA story. Moved to LA, was there for like 3 months, got knocked up.
Damn.
Yeah.
Party time.
It wasn't even really that I was partying. It was
Not from a party. I'm saying party time. Like, yeah, that's
party time.
Party time, dude. Yeah.
So my whole world changed.
Okay.
You know, and after I had my gorgeous, beautiful daughter.
Mm-hmm. Who is so freaking sweet, dude.
She's awesome.
Good job so far.
I started pursuing my television career. Mm-hmm. So, and I wanted to use my degree. So I was working for this small television station. They broadcasted to the transits, like all the transit systems. So like think about here in, you know, downtown Phoenix and Tempe, they have like the kiosks right. by the rail the light and all rail that station. Stuff. So imagine that, but then TVs, right?
Okay.
So like this company broadcasted and made all the content for that. And
so
it
you're
was
really
very
famous in the poor community.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty good. That's a good crowd though.
Very,
yeah.
very low budget type yeah. shit. So I kind of went in there and worked with a couple other guys there and we kind of like spruced it up
that's
and
cool
I got to do some
though.
Cool stuff. It didn't seem like a big deal, but yeah. you're being broadcasted to thousands
Dude,
and thousands of people.
Exactly. And that's yeah. how you always say like, if they see your face, mm-hmm. you win.
Yeah.
Like, they might not look you up. They might not ask who was the girl in the commercial. But if they see your face, that's all the... It was all worth it already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
So I was doing that, and we were doing, like, some interviewing shows or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, of course, like, you get those YouTube haters, and they're like, this interviewer sucks. And yeah. I was like, do I God. Suck? Do I really suck? And
oh, you let it get to you a little bit?
Yeah, it got yeah, to me yeah, a little yeah. bit. And one of the guys I was working with who was kind of, like, he kind of acted like my manager mm-hmm. with some of the stuff. He's like, well, he's like, I think you're great, but you could definitely... There's always room to improve. Like, why don't you take some improv classes? And I was like, okay.
Okay.
So I was looking into, like, improv classes, and I...
And
you
you're
know,
still in L.A. at this point.
Yeah, I was
okay,
in L.A.
Cool, cool.
And I joined Upright Citizens Brigade, which is like where all the comic legends go. Either they go there or they go to Second City.
Okay.
So I started taking improv classes, loved it. Then I wanted to be like, oh my God, I always wanted to be on SNL. I'm like, maybe I'll join an improv troupe and all this stuff. And I've always been really into writing. So I wanted to start like writing scripts.
You
and
the,
so then,
the bug, huh?
Yeah. So then I did like the sketch writing 101 with Sean yeah. Conroy, who's like that one professor that could still get it, you know?
Sure. I don't know what you're talking about, but I know one.
He's amazing. Yeah. He's zaddy. and I just kind of like fell in love with it. And then started doing stand-up comedy. I had a couple, met a couple friends there and like, you should yeah. really do stand-up. And I started doing it and I just, it was kind of a wrap ever since
and
then.
You just, and then you did exclusively stand-up after the first time or you kind of just like phased improv out? Or was
no,
it just like, okay,
I really
fuck
didn't,
improv?
I felt improv was just kind of like too complicated because you know, got to get in a group or whatever.
And you got to find the right people.
Yeah. But there was a group that I was a part of that's still a pretty big group called We Make Movies in LA. And it's like where a bunch of actors get together, actors, screenwriters,
yeah, yeah.
and they just meet and they share products. They do like table reads and sometimes they do improv games.
That's pretty cool.
And yeah. And
especially
it's
if
free.
Someone's got like some actual skill in it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was my favorite thing. I actually still get the newsletters because I don't want to like get rid of them. I
right.
remember that they're
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
But you would go, they would drink wine and you could volunteer to play some of the games or do the table reads. And that was kind of like my improv.
Is the same person running that as
you know,
ever? Because that
I'm
would be so
sure.
fucked.
It was kind of like a group of people. Okay. There was a guy, Michael Boozer, who was a big part of it. And I think he still is. And he's been really killing the game
okay.
right now, too.
Good, good.
We're
yeah.
still friends on Facebook.
Good improv is really fun to watch. But I will say this. Bad improv, a bad improv group is... just mountains more hard to watch than a bad stand-up comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's like five or six or even two or three people up there eating shit, not knowing what to do off each other. And, dude, it is the hardest thing to watch.
Yeah.
That and slam poetry, dude, I'm telling you, it's the hardest thing to watch ever. I feel so embarrassed
yeah.
for people who do bad at those things.
Yeah.
The good ones are good ones. That's
yeah.
And that's just how it goes. But
yeah.
As far as like a live entertainment,
yeah,
dude, there's nothing more gut-wrenchingly cringy than a bad slam poet or a bad improv group.
I was really into slam poetry in college.
Dude, I'm so happy I met you further down the line.
Yeah.
Because getting good at slam poetry, dude, if you want me to be your friend...
I was good at
get
it.
Get good first. Okay, that's totally fine. I don't know your history with slam poetry. I'm just saying... Okay, listen, audience, if you're thinking about doing slam poetry, right... Do it all you want. I'm telling you, practice and make it worth it and everything will be good. But do not invite anyone you care about to your slam poetry or improv classes until you got your shit correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's fun to watch someone do bad on stage doing comedy, stand-up comedy
yeah.
by themselves. It's hilarious how bad some people can do. But it is sad. It is so you know, like they're putting all their energy into something that's so terrible.
Especially
and it makes
slam poetry, because usually it's like an emotional thing. And then so when they are horrible at it, you just feel bad for them for like spilling out their guts.
Yeah, and you can never say it's bad to them because it's so subjective.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I'm not here to make you laugh, or I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to like get my emo. I'm like, oh shit. Well, I can't argue that, I guess. So yeah. I've never said anything to anyone, but sorry, that's been my TED talk. Don't do it in front of the people you care about when you're getting good at it. Just avoid that at all costs. So any slam poetry dates you want to promote real quick before we go?
No. In my shower in 15 minutes.
Man, do you really do that? Do you do slam poetry in the shower?
I used to.
Out loud?
I mean, I was like, okay, so growing up in Eugene,
Oregon,
you know, as a multiracial girl.
Yes.
You know.
If you guys don't know, she's half Hispanic and half Asian. so think of what you will.
Half black, half Italian. But like my black side of the family was like my church family. And really, as far as school goes, I was like one out of three black kids, you know?
Okay.
So when I got to college and it was so much more diverse, I was all about it. I wanted to like kind of get into that culture more. So yeah, I was, you know, part of the Black Student Union, the Multicultural Forum, like all that. And they would always have like cool, fun, dope events.
Good. Did you catch any light skin flack?
Totally.
Tons, huh?
Tons.
So that's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
I don't like to confirm any rumors in the black community until I'm, you know, I mean, I need to experience.
I had an argument about that with one of my friends.
How weird
is
that, though?
Like, white friends. I'm like, how would you get it? And she's like, because I'm not black. I'm like, exactly. Like, you wouldn't get it.
Yes.
I'm not being a racist. Yeah, you're not going to understand unless you're in those shoes or you see it happening right in front of you.
Yeah, it's some weird shit and I'll never understand it. And it's not my place to understand. But yeah, I just wanted to. So what would go down then? So tell me the standard piece of shit that would give you flack for being light skinned. How does this even come about? Is it during an argument someone pulls that on you?
No, or is it just it's just like back in the day, throwing shade wasn't like a lingo, but when I think about throwing shade, like the first time I heard that, it made me think of college.
Okay.
Because people would throw shade. So not only was I like a light skinned girl, like pretty naive, you know. I was also the daughter of a professor who was really well known at the college.
Oh shit.
So my dad is a musician.
Some people hated you, huh?
My dad is a musician and he taught the gospel class at the School of Music.
Oh, that's cool though.
And it was super popular.
Yeah, that's
like
tight.
Everyone took it. All the black kids took it. It was very fun.
Okay. Did you take it?
Yeah, I took it too.
Cool. Your dad was your gospel coach?
Yeah.
That's tight.
Well, I grew up singing in church since I was a little kid. So there was that element too. And I never thought of myself as pretty until like probably like I got out of college. I would kind of was like an awkward kid, you know, and I like was all skin and bones and tall and lurky or whatever. So I never really got a lot of attention from dudes in high school either. So like in college, I started getting attention, especially from like athletes and stuff.
Yeah, the ones you wanted attention from.
Yeah. And I wasn't really about it. I was more like, oh, look, we're homies. Like I was homies with all of them. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But because all of them liked me and gravitated towards me and I was friends with some of them, people would spread rumors that I was like sleeping with all of them.
Of course.
When I really only dated one of them and maybe slept with two, you know?
Yeah.
And
people,
so it was just like people were always throwing shade. There was a time where I like hooked up with this guy who I really, really was into. And I guess at the time he was broken up with this girl and they had been like high school sweethearts. I had no clue because nobody was cool enough to tell me.
And it also doesn't matter.
It also doesn't matter.
Moving along,
but then after that, like her and all of her friends would always throw shade at me. Like they would put little snarky comics on Facebook photos or just say shit around me behind my back. And I didn't get it. And I didn't understand why it was happening, you know? And I've always been one of those kids where like, I didn't get drama. I didn't understand the nickering, the titting and the tatting, you know, why, you know?
Yeah. That's some bullshit. But so you just kind of let it happen.
I just let it happen. And I've kind of always been that way. And
no ass beatings. You didn't have to check anyone.
Ooh, there was a couple. Instances when I was younger.
Okay. Before college.
College. When I was in college, that's when I started taking up boxing. So that was my outlet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you develop that like a mindset of, these bitches don't want it? Like, I don't even want to give it to him because I know what I'm doing kind of deal? Or was it
just... It was just this mentality, like, looking back at it, this is like Lexi now talking, where it's just like, they got shit that they're working through, you know? Like, and it has nothing to do with me, but past Lexi is probably like, well, there's nothing I can do about it, and why waste my energy?
You're fucking them up.
You know?
You could fuck them up.
Yeah, I could have fucked them up, yeah.
And that stops.
But I don't know, usually. I think...
But it's okay. I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's lots of ways to handle things. And I bet you those people aren't a part of your life in any way.
No, they're not.
Yeah. So fuck them, dude. Yeah. They're not buying tickets to the fucking life coaching comedians live at Westgate at Stir Crazy on March 15th on a Sunday.
I just think of like most of those people that tried to inflict pain into my life are probably like in the most mediocre setting that they possibly could be in right now and probably really unhappy and not living their life.
That's always true.
Yeah.
No matter who, if you know someone talking shit about you, and you know, as long as you're not an actual piece of shit, you got to look inward, you know? Some people don't even realize that they're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But if you know, and a lot of people do, the majority of people just know.
Yeah.
You know? But if you can just pay a little bit of attention, you can avoid a whole lot of issues in life. People that aren't doing shit are the ones who talk the most, like, honestly.
Yeah, they really do.
Someone posted on Twitter, and I'm not gonna name any name, it doesn't matter, but someone posted on Twitter, who is Hobo Johnson? I've heard a lot about him. Like, Hobo Johnson is like I guess a slam poet hip hop artist, but he's good at what he does.
Okay,
so it's not so like what is happening, you know? And there's a couple bands that have came before him that, you know, sound a little similar to it. But on the post, no one was like, oh, he's a artist out of this, like, you know, for fans of Touche Moray, for fans of Law Dispute, whatever. Mm-hmm. Everyone was like, some fucking wannabe Law Dispute, bitch. And like, next comment, some fucking wannabe, some crybaby.
Was this all on YouTube?
No, it was all on Twitter.
Oh, on Twitter, yeah.
Someone was asking, and I was like,
I think Twitter's worse than YouTube.
Oh, Twitter is fucking horrid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like looking through the post, and not a single fucking one was like, check it out. Like, see.
Yeah.
Like, and so I usually don't do this, but I was like, you guys are fucking weird, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to spend your time bashing someone who's successful off of like doing their art their way. I was like, listen to him. Have your own fucking opinion. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, why'd you even ask this question?
Yeah.
Why do you ask people how people are? Like, how is Hobo Johnson good? Like, it's just so stupid.
It's like,
just listen to him and then figure it out for yourself.
I had kind of a similar situation when I did my Eazy-E performance.
So, such a good, you know what? I know you used to call it a Halloween costume. I'll never refer to it as that. It is a perfect cosplay.
Oh yeah. No. So I think by me doing that, because I've done other costumes before, Halloween costumes, but that opened up a whole door to me. And I'm totally going to like put more energy into cosplay.
Yeah.
I think it opens up such a niche for me.
Yeah. And you're a comedian.
Yeah.
So I know a person who books all the cons, all the comedy cons.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
If you don't think I'm not doing sets as Thor this year, you're out of your fucking mind, dude.
God, I can't wait to see that.
That's gonna be so cool.
I actually got signed with this as an independent contractor with this entertainment company. Okay. They throw like parties and stuff like that.
Tight.
And so I reached out to them as a comedian, and I was just like, hey, I'm not sure if you guys work with comedians, but I would love to like help if you ever have like a party where they want comedians. I know lots of talented comedians. I can book them for you, kind of a thing. And he's like, come in, let's talk. And so we're talking. He's like, I actually already work with like 4 comedians, but they're all male and I need more. I don't have any females. And then he looked at all my stuff online, and he's like, so how would you feel about doing what's called a party motivator? And I was like, what's that? And he's like, when you come in costume, and you help like motivate the party, keep it going or whatever.
Like, hi, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he's like in your Bob Ross costume.
Oh my God.
And I was like, you're paying me? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Absolutely. Can I bring a videographer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And
dude, that's so exciting.
And he's like, yeah. And if you ever come up with like more, like, cause we look for impersonators, whatever. So they're doing like this art gallery party.
Oh my God. And that's
so,
your lane.
Yeah. You found your future. Was like, I'm like, dude, that's awesome. And I was, cause I plan my Halloween costumes like a year in advance.
I know.
Start thinking
you
about
told
it.
Me about the Eazy-E one quite in advance. And was it last year you had posted, your Gwen Stefani one?
Oh yeah, that was
long
time
ago.
That was like the first like real costume that I put a lot of effort into.
That was really good. All of oh man. If you guys follow Lexis Chardé on Instagram. I'm pretty sure it's Lexis Chardé.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on Instagram. Just scroll through her posts, drop a whole bunch of likes, but just look for her.
If you look for a Halloween post, ones. I have like all my legit Halloween costumes that I did in like one post.
Oh, in like a story thing? Yeah. Like a highlight?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
There you go. She knows what the fuck
is So yeah, like I'm like, dude, I need to do more of this. And then after doing the EZE thing, Dana and Courtney were like, hey, do you want to do that? The bro show? I'm like, yes. Oh, dude, I've been dying to get on the bro show. Yes please. Yes. But anyway, the point of me talking about that was when I posted that on YouTube, and I put like in the description that I am an EZE fan. I love EZE. He's a legend, like long live fucking EZE. So many haters, like, who's this clown ass bitch? Yeah. Like, that's not funny page. It's like, YouTube's terrible.
Dude, and it's like, if you like Dr. Dre in the 90s, you had to hate Eazy-E.
Yeah.
And then how are you in a fucking adult and still hate Eazy-E?
Yeah.
Like, people are just so fucking whack. Me and my dad were talking about this today. We were watching the news in the morning. I woke up really early and like we're watching Good Morning News. I just wanted to just give it a fucking shot, dude. I haven't watched the news probably in over 10 years. I've had cable.
I don't watch the news.
I don't give a fuck about the news. So I turn it on and they were talking about hangover cures for Super Bowl Sunday. I'm like,
oh my God.
The world is so fucking whack, dude. You know what I mean? Like,
you're like, people are dying in Wuhan or whatever, Wuhan.
And you know what, dude? I'm not even trying to be heartless or funny, but like, I don't even care about that. Not that I don't care about that, but like, okay, that's happening. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, just fucking show me some dogs that are up for adoption. You know, talk about the fucking. Where you can go, I don't know, dude. And I know they do segments and stuff, but don't fucking waste people's time on
how to get rid of a hangover. Drink Kangen water.
Well, you know, the most called out day in America is either Monday after Super Bowl Sunday. It's like, okay, dude, fucking God. So you think a hangover cure is going to make them go to work? They're still going to wake up hungover.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. People are just wasting time
swallow
on dumb shit.
Swallow a charcoal tab.
I fucking, dude. The news for a minute and a half pissed me off so bad this morning. I hadn't smoked yet. You know, I was drinking my first cup of coffee. I wasn't ready to get angry. And then I put on Bob's Burgers. Thank the Lord.
Dude,
and then,
Bob's Burgers. Okay, so when good. People talk about Bob's Burgers, the cartoon, it makes me think of there's this place in Eugene actually called Bob's Burgers. And it's the best burger place ever.
Is it? You think there's a correlation?
I don't know. I believe there's still one in Riverside, Oregon, which is where like there's it's very popular for surfing.
Okay.
Because it has like a famous cove. It's freezing cold.
Oh, yeah, Oregon is on the coast, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Forget about that.
A lot of professional surfers go there and they have a Bob's Burgers there still.
Damn. I'm down, dude. And you were speaking. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. Real quick, before we get into my next question, we do have to take a sponsorship break. Episode number 50. Oh my God. We'll be right back. Support for the Hella Tired podcast comes from Manscaped, the precision tools for your family jewels. Manscaped offers a wide variety of products. They just released a lawnmower 3.0. If you thought the lawnmower 2.0 got you a close shave with no worries, go ahead and get that lawnmower 3.0, baby, and change your fucking life. And as usual, you know, time and time and again, I get people asking me, Bubba, if you wanted to suck a dick, would you want to go down there and it be hairy and smell a little bit like nature? I would be like, fuck no, dude. You know what you should do, though? Get that motherfucking lawnmower 3.0 with a little bit of that ball deodorant. You get a little bit of those fucking, they're called crop mops, dude. Oh my God. You don't have enough time for a quick shower between work and dinner, but you know you're going to get some later and you're going to go to her house. Take a fucking crop mop, dude. Clean up down there. Scrub it up. You'll be fine. Manscaped does offer 20% off and free shipping with the code TIRED at checkout. So please support the podcast. Help me make the money I can't get because I don't know what I'm doing. And go to manscaped.com. Code TIRED at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. Keep that shit clean. Shout out to our sponsor, Kova Coffee. Kova Coffee offers the legitimately undeniable best coffee on the internet and available to all. They have the fucking roast date printed on the bag so you know how fresh it is. They get it outsourced. They don't get that American shit. All right. America can't grow coffee like everyone else can. They got shit from all different kind of countries, continents in the world. And every farmer is unique. Tecova, they partner with everyone around the world and have a life story for each one. Please go support this amazing locally sourced coffee. Not locally sourced, locally roasted coffee and worldwide sourced. Tecova Coffee, headquarters in Portland, Oregon. And get Tecova 5 for 5% off, or $5 off your first order. Tecova 5. Thank you guys for drinking. Bye. Enjoy the rest of the episode. And we're back. Thank you so much for your patience, Miss Lexi Shardy.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Lexi Shardy? Lexi Shardy. Lexi Shardy. Did you get, you got that a lot? I'm sure you had to, right?
Actually, hey, Shardy. I don't know. I got, yeah.
I mean, you think it's related to your name or just because you look the way you do?
Maybe both.
Both, huh? It's mixed, get it? Because you're mixed. Okay, anyways, we were just on the conversation of Portland and all that good stuff, Oregon Coast. Now, you just went and performed at the Portland Comedy Festival, which is fucking fire. That is a very big festival that happens yearly in Portland, Oregon. The pictures you were posting looked so goddamn fun. And you went with another local comedian,
Savannah Hernandez,
out here.
She's voted best
new female comic.
Female comic.
Amazing. And she's doing so good. And I'm telling you guys, we did an episode a little while back before she really started popping, but she's in demand right now.
She
is fucking hilarious, and she's deserving all the attention she's getting. Mm-hmm. So anyways, you went to the Portland Comedy Festival, and so was it really, really cool being back, like, in your home state doing comedy? Did a lot of friends come out and see you?
Actually,
and stuff?
A lot. I had a lot of support, and I was really floored by it.
So, like, okay, so tell me, now, did you weren't expecting, right? That many people to come support?
I wasn't expecting, but I was definitely manifesting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And it paid off, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah. Okay. So now 3 days, right?
No, dude, that shit was long. It was like 5 days long.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. And so talk me through it. Now, the people who are listening most likely have not attended a comedy festival, but the basic layout is you usually have multiple days, multiple venues. Some comedy festivals have one venue where they just do show after show after show for 3 days. Mm-hmm. It's a really good time. All the comedians are hanging out afterwards. Come and meet the comedians, get some people on your podcast, drink some beer, eat some burgers, smoke some weed, do whatever you want. So make sure if you do see a comedy festival coming to town, it's worth a purchase. Go ahead, support local comedy so we all get where we want to be, and yada, yada. But again, for those who don't know, please talk us through your first... That's your first comedy festival experience.
Yeah, that's
my
first.
Okay, so talk us through it. How'd your first show go? Do you have any hecklers? I mean, I want to hear it.
So, ironically, the Portland crowd, like, okay, so the first show that I did was on a Tuesday night. I had been traveling all day, and I had the last show, which was 10 p.m.
Okay, on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday. And I also, they were looking, like, a week before, they're asking people to volunteer to host. And you're not competing as a host, but just to host.
Okay.
And so I did volunteer. So they put me to host, like, the 8 o'clock show in the lounge.
Okay.
So there's three rooms in there. There's the lounge.
And which building are we talking about?
Oh, this is Harvey's Comedy Club.
Harvey's Comedy mm-hmm. Club. And there's three rooms in
there's
the comedy club?
There's three rooms. Ooh. So there's the main room. Mm-hmm. And then there's the lounge, which is by the bar. And then there's the green room, which is another bar. But they were using that as an actual green room for the comedians. So that room wasn't being used for performances. So they had me host in the lounge, and then right after I got done hosting, I had to go up into the main room and do my first performance.
That's so exciting.
But
did you get, like, the majority of the nerves out hosting?
Definitely the first couple days I got the majority of my nerves out, because
first
the first
days.
Night it was like such a dead crowd.
Oh,
like
no.
There were people there that bought tickets. They're just not into it.
Really?
Like, nobody was breaking. There was no, like, warming up the crowd for anybody.
And be honest, comedians.
Great. All of them talented.
A, the ones that were performing that specific
yes.
show?
Yes.
Wow, that sucks. I mean, it's like that sometimes, though.
Like, all the comedians, I don't think there was one comedian that I did not like. They were all funny.
Yeah, man. Sometimes it's really just like that.
Yeah. The first night was, like, tough. And then, so every night after the performances were over, they had partnered up with this club called Dante's that was around the corner.
Okay.
And they have a stage there. So they're like, come for the after party. Every night there was an after party.
Open mic too and stuff?
Open mic,
oh,
right?
Oh, tight.
So we go to that. Okay. Me and my homeboy Jamal, we met in the LA scene.
Okay.
And we've been friends all these years. And he's got on the podcast.
Festival too?
No. So I have to tell you that story in a little bit. Okay. So he wasn't part of the festival, but he was like, I'm going to come hang out with you. Cause he's diehard comedian too.
Okay,
you know,
cool,
he's been
cool.
in a long time. So he was just kind of like my role dog all
right,
week.
Right. Right.
And, so he's like, let's go to the open mic. I'm tired. I've been up since like 5 a.m.
Yeah. And it's Tuesday.
Yeah. It's Tuesday. Yeah. It's almost midnight. So we go to this place. It's empty. It's like maybe 10 comedians and like a couple like locals at the bar.
Sometimes,
right?
Yeah, man.
And it's really dark. It's like all black in there. And then there's red lights everywhere. And there's like an indoor fireplace. And it literally felt like you're in hell. There's like gargoyles on the walls.
That's kind of cool, though, dude.
It is kind of cool. But when you're tired and there's a bunch of comedians going up one after another, performing to an empty room and no one's laughing, I felt like I was in my own personal hell.
Oh, man.
Like, did you ever watch American Horror Story?
Yeah.
Remember the Coven series?
I know what you're
when they do
to.
That, when they go to their hell and they have to come back?
Yeah.
That's what mine was.
Oh my God, man.
So then there was this one comedian that got a heckler because there was like these guys talking at the bar.
Yeah. I mean, when no one's laughing, might as well be a part of it.
And he was like, why don't you shut up or I'm going to come down there and slit your throat.
What the
on stage.
Fuck?
He was like,
white guy, obviously.
Yeah. He was like fucked up. Yeah. The directors were there and they were like, what is he doing? And they're like trying to get him off stage. And he's like, oh yeah, you're a real funny guy. Yeah. Come up here. He said that he was going to slit his throat like 10 times.
What
he's like, come on here. I'm going to beat your ass.
Fuck.
So first night he got kicked out of the festival, not by the directors, but by the owner of Harvey's Comedy Club. And he was
Damn.
A local Portland comedian.
Blackballed.
Kicked out. Ruined his career. Might as well move to another state, bro. So that's how it started.
So rough start to the comedy festival. Now, was Savannah there already?
Savannah wasn't there when that happened,
so you
but
were just,
she was there.
You didn't even have a comedy companion other than Jamal then.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah. Okay. So now that disaster ends. You go up, do your time.
I actually didn't do the open mic. I was so tired. I was like, I'm not doing it.
Such a pussy.
I know. I waited for Jamal went up after him and it was funny because all the comedians were there and they're just laughing at him. So he's like, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So every night though, I probably didn't get to bed till 2-3 in the morning, which is so not my thing.
But that's how you know you're working.
Though. Yeah.
And comedy doesn't go in the morning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The comedy schedule is a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't allow myself to get completely on the comedy schedule because I have a day, like a morning job.
Same.
During the week, but yeah, that's comedy don't start happening till at least 7.
Yeah,
and so to stay out till 2, that makes sense. But then when you have to wake up early the next day, that shit fucking fucks you up. So you get a good night's sleep, continental breakfast, whatever, maybe or something. Okay, and so now do they have like shit set up all throughout the day for the festival goers, like workshops and stuff?
Not during the week. They started doing the workshops on Friday and Saturday. Saturday was the last day.
So you. Tuesday through Saturday
mm-hmm.
was the festival.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And I didn't even stay for the last Saturday. Like, so Saturday night was like when all the celebrities came through.
Yeah.
So I stayed for the panel in the afternoon,
sure.
But after that I left because like my family was getting together at my cousin's house and I really wanted to see all them and spend some time with them. So I was a little bummed about missing, but I needed to see my family.
And you were there for 4 days prior.
Yeah. And cause they all live in Eugene, but my cousin lives in Portland. So like my aunt drove up and she didn't get to come to my performances.
How far is Portland from Eugene?
About an hour and a half. So
Drive?
It's like here to Flagstaff.
Oh shit, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So now by the time Friday rolled around, shit was popping.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Cause I remember you posting a couple clips and it looked like it was.
Yeah. So Friday night was like the last. So every comedian had 3 chances to qualify to finals and the final round was the last show on Friday. So, Friday was when the majority of my support group showed up.
Okay.
And it was audience vote via text.
Ooh.
So, and it was packed. Like Friday night, all those shows were sold out.
Good, good.
So,
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So I was in the last round before the finals round and I won that round and then I advanced to the finals and performed shortly right after.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was cool.
Now, did they place you or you just didn't?
No, they didn't
first.
Really.
Yeah, they
really
only announced
place.
First.
Yeah.
Okay.
They just
okay.
announced first.
But good job on the finals.
Yeah,
though.
It was
Ooh,
cool.
First comedy festival and made it to the finals, dude. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And that's a easy consideration when you apply for this year.
Oh yeah,
you know
for
what I mean?
Sure.
They're like, yeah. Oh yeah, oh, she killed it last year.
Well, so this year was the first year. Mm-hmm. It was like we're alumni now.
Really?
Yeah. So it was really cool.
The first year Portland Comedy Festival was 2019.
They have other comedy festivals in Portland, but for the Portland Comedy Festival, this was the first.
Oh, so
one.
This is like the big one that they're trying to make. Mm-hmm, that's really cool.
And they're doing an event this summer. By the Portland Comedy Festival, but it's called the International Comedy Contest or something like that. So that's happening pretty soon. They just announced it.
Yeah. You apply to compete. Mm-hmm, okay. Yeah. You going to apply?
I don't know. Cause it's summers are kind of complicated.
Truth.
But yeah.
They get a family affair.
Yeah. But, so Dante, the comic, he's kind of like a legend. Like back in the 90s, he was like the only white comedian to be on like BET specials and stuff like that. And then his wife, Rebecca Cochin, she does comedy. She's really big in the LGBT community, and she's like did a lot of like horror films. She was called the Scream Queen, all this stuff.
Cool.
So they're the ones that put it on.
Cool. So the legit people.
Legit people, down to earth. They still keep in contact with me. Amazing. The panel was amazing. I got to meet Mark Brazil, the co-creator of that 70s show.
Cool. Yeah.
And they had a panel. Felicia Michaels was there. Tom Rhodes was there.
Tom Rhodes is so fucking funny.
There was a lot of really cool people there, and it was very intimate. So we got to ask questions, and it was cool because I asked Mark and Felicia, because they're both parents, and they were talking about how they took creative hiatus when they were raising their kids and stuff like that. So I kind of talked to them about that. And I was like, you know, my daughter's 9, but she's getting to that age where she's being a little bit more independent. And because I took a comedy hiatus when I first moved to Phoenix, I didn't know there was a scene. So there was like 2-3 years where I was just creatively dead inside.
Yeah.
And now that I started again, I'm like, nope, not doing that again. Like full fledged. Yeah. I'm going to put as much effort as I can into it.
And your trajectory is steep enough to where it's like, okay, you are being an awesome mom and a progressive comic. Like,
yeah.
You got a nice balance right now.
Yeah. I feel so balanced right now.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
And so I asked them a question, and you know, they gave me really good advice. And then what was really cool is after the panel was over, Mark pulled me aside and he was just like, "Hey dude, you're doing an amazing job. You're almost there. Don't quit.
That's so
keep
cool.
going." Took a photo with me. We follow each other on Instagram, you know?
So
it's
cool.
Like, dude, that dude created careers for people.
Right.
You know, look at Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher.
Everybody, even the Eric Foreman character still does movies. Like everybody. The dude kind of got caught up though.
Oh, the
dude played Hyde.
Yeah.
He's kind of a piece of shit, but whatever.
He played a piece of shit.
Oh no, I mean like in real life.
No, but his character was, you know,
true.
He's a piece of shit.
Was it called method acting? Or is that method acting when you dive into a character completely? Or is it method acting where you don't have to veer too far from who you are?
I'm not sure which one it would be clarified as.
Just be yourself, Hyde.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. smoke too much weed and be a creep. That's fine. I got you.
Yeah.
That's really cool though. So that first comedy experience, that's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know if like the next comedy festival experience will be that.
Yeah. It feels like there's a general, layout to a comedy festival. If it's 3 days, there's workshops earlier in the day and there's an open mic earlier in the day. Then the shows happen, of course, between 6 and 10, whatever. Afterwards, there's always an after party or always a bar gathering with an open mic usually. Mm-hmm. And that's just a 3-day event and you can network and learn and take in as much as you want. I'm sure there's some comedy festivals out there that are very disappointing. I've heard some horror stories. Like, I want those horror stories to be on the pod. I need to get them on the podcast to tell them. But I've heard shit where it's like, it was an absolute fucking waste of $500 between the airfare, between the hotel.
Oh, it was something that you traveled to?
Not me. I haven't had that experience yet. I'm talking about the people. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, cool. Like, submissions are $10. I'll do it. And they get accepted to like a fucking one in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, I'll go out there.
Yeah.
And it's a disaster. It's just like a fucking hangout.
Yeah.
And like, oh my God. Okay.
Speaking of comedy festivals, congratulations on Bird City 2020.
Thanks, Lexus. I appreciate it. Yeah. That's exciting. I was really hoping that I get on that one. And I don't know how much manifesting plays a part, but I was like, cool. Well, I have a decent 5-minute video I sent them. and we'll see what happens. And I'm amongst some very good local comedians.
Yeah, there's some fire comedians.
Yeah, even some alumni from the podcast. We already discussed Savannah Hernandez is on there, and Peter Jordan's on there. Courtney Wallstrom.
Patrick Aiken.
Yeah, I have to get him on the podcast. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be a great time. March 24th?
I think it's the 22nd through the 25th or something like that. Yeah.
Downtown Phoenix.
Yeah.
Unexpected gallery. And then I'm sure there's going to be a couple of other one-off venues. But yeah, thank you
for
that.
Of course. And speaking of, you know, how you're saying like wasted energy and time and money on going to a podcast, I actually have a strategy to the podcast that, I mean, not the podcast, but the comedy festivals I apply to. I try to kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
I try to see what city there's someone I know.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
That'd save a lot of money if you just have a friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. The only ones I've been to so far, besides I haven't been to Bird City yet, of course, was the Four Corners Comedy Festival that happens in Durango, Colorado. And that was really, really cool. And that was my first festival experience. And it really let me know that next time I'm involved in something like that, I could do way more while I'm there.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about like killing two birds with one stone with the podcast. Like, this Bird City, I'm going to try.
Yeah.
And bank some episodes with some really cool people and
make the most out of my time.
Yeah. I didn't do that at Durango. I learned my lesson. I had a great time. Like, it was a really, really good time.
You should be applying to some of these festivals as a podcast too, if they offer it. Yeah,
I am. Yeah, I am. Bird City, it's still a scheduling thing. We're gonna try to work it out, but tentatively speaking, Hellatire podcast looks like it'll be a part of Bird City. It's some, if we could find a nice window for it, it's a very easy setup. So, yeah, the podcast, live podcast, is very fun, and it incorporates immediately 6-7 comedians.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a really comedian-friendly podcast as far as a festival goes. I need 3 people to roast. I need a guest, and I need someone to do comedy. So that's fucking 5. And then if people want to roast, get roasted, that's crowd. Like anyone want to volunteer?
Yeah.
You know, it's a fun time. So I've been applying that, and I've just been really, really, really focusing on making sure I'm doing things correctly.
Yeah,
the abundance of things I'm doing is getting a little smaller, but everything is getting a little more focused, and I'm feeling it, and I'm loving where things are going, and I see that same thing is happening for you. Couldn't be more happy for us, dude. Honestly,
seriously, I mean, I listen to your podcast pretty regularly, and I think that's part of the reason why I do seasons is because like, I'll record, edit. Right now I'm on a like really good flow where it's like I've been keeping my episodes to 30 minutes because I have the video element too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I can usually edit the audio and the video within an hour.
You get really good at it. And that'll only get shorter as you go on.
And learning how to just like figure it out, paying attention while you're recording, figuring out like, you know, what you need to cut out, what you don't.
Yes.
So you kind of, you know, you have your whole mind wrapped around it. And so the reason why I do seasons though is because I like to take a break, reassess and figure out what I can make better, you know? So like my first season, it was, before I really started putting myself out there in the Phoenix scene. So I'd just gotten back on Facebook and social media.
Big steps.
Yeah. So, I reached out to a lot of my comedian friends back in LA, put posts up to try to get people on my podcast. I did everything via Skype.
Okay.
And then last season, which was the season you were on and you're going to be on this one,
new format,
did everything in person, added the video.
And I'm sure it was way better received.
Yes. And I mean, I got a lot of views and listens on the first one too.
Oh yeah.
But just the video, I mean, the video quality was a new element. And then the audio was a lot better.
Multi-angle.
Yep.
Yeah, you upgraded big time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the content's good. No one's ever going to argue that. But when you can watch it and enjoy watching it, that opens up so many windows. Because, like, honestly, I don't watch a lot of podcasts. I listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And any podcast can be good audibly as long as you don't talk about, you know, the things in the room too much, I guess, or whatever. But when you decide to sit down and watch one, like, and you're someone like me, I need it to be good quality.
Yeah. And now with all the smart TVs, you can stream YouTube straight to your TV. It's easy.
Every game console has a YouTube app on it. Yeah. Like everyone watches YouTube if they watch
something. It's the third most used platform, just shy of Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah. And that's the crazy part is that's the only video-based platform.
Yep.
Everything else is social media. And I guess
Instagram's trying to make people use video more. Yeah. They have the IGTV, but it's not the same.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. But it's never going to equate. You can definitely put a hand in the cookie jar and they're making nice money off it.
Yeah.
Advertisers are paying to get on their app and it's all working. But YouTube, no matter how popular any social media app gets or whatever, just, and I'm not like a fanatic of Joe Rogan. I do like him, whatever, but that is the most consumed visual program, audio program in the world.
Yeah. And people that don't listen to podcasts, if you mention podcasts, they'd be like, oh, like Joe Rogan?
Dude, I've never heard anyone that didn't know who Joe Rogan was.
Yeah.
Like off of something, right? Whether it's the Fear Factor guy, whether it's the UFC guy, whether it's the fucking mecca of podcasting.
Yeah.
He has deserved it because no one works as hard as that guy. Yeah. And I just want to take a little piece of that work ethic and apply it to
me.
Because
I have some of your energy, Joe Rogan.
Because I'm telling you, the Joe Rogan experience. just this, us sitting here. And oh, yeah, by the way, thank you for hosting me in your lovely home and amazing cat. That's a supervillain cat right there. Mm-hmm. Even just doing this, it's been almost 2 months since I released an episode, and this is all I've needed to do this whole time. Just this.
Yeah.
Oh, you have a fucking room with carpet in it?
Cool.
That's all I've ever needed, but something had been just really keeping me from just talking to someone for an hour with a microphone.
Yeah.
And I don't know what sprung it, but I was just like, well, we're already hanging out. If you don't work at noon, I had to do it, dude. Just ask her to do it. And I was like, fuck. And I'm like, I don't want to. And I was low key hoping on the way over here, I forgot a microphone or something. Yeah. I have no idea what the fuck is wrong with me. And people support me monetarily through here sometimes too. And to take a 2 month break makes me feel like shit.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and that's you, I'm so sorry.
Just let your audience know when you're taking a break. You know, when my season.
Well, I didn't know I was though.
Yeah.
I was just
let them know. You can even put in your feed, Hella Tired Podcast will be returning, March or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, let your audience know what's happening.
I'm putting this out today, by the way.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So,
but I think when we don't want to be creative is when we need to be creative. Because when we're not creative, that's when we're depressed. That's when our anxiety takes off.
And I've been doing really good about, not lately as in the last month, 2 months, but I've been doing really good at acknowledging my anxiety is the reason that I keep me from being progressive. But just going, okay, flipping that to the side.
Let it go.
Doesn't matter. But again, I don't know what it's been. But the last couple months has been fucking impossible to do it. And this morning, nothing special about this morning. I was like, well, I'll already be with her doing the photos. So I guess I was just sitting there drinking my coffee, staring into nothing, just thinking fuck, dude, do I want to? It's a fucking hour and we're having a good time.
Yeah.
This is what I love to do. And I hadn't done it in two months because of my subconscious brain being a fucking piece of shit, dude.
I was feeling the exact same way yesterday when I knew I had to sit down and do editing. And I was like, oh, I don't want to edit. And then I thought about it. I'm like, but I'm going to have fun doing it. I'm going to be watching it. I'm going to be enjoying it.
And it does so much for you.
Yeah.
It does, not even internally speaking. I'm talking about you posting something.
Mm-hmm.
Creates the consistency, creates the content, creates the new opinions about you or new, ways to be seen or heard, and everything that follows suit of you doing what you have already been doing is positive.
Yeah.
There's no downside as long as the content doesn't drop off or you're completely fucking up your, format.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the cliche that has annoyed me my whole life, but as an adult, I've really learned to pay attention to cliches, is consistency is key.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, shut the fuck up with that shit. shut up, you know? But that is the only thing in life that matters. If you have figured out what you want to do, I would love to do podcasts and comedy primarily forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I took 2 months off, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That can never happen again.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And I had to go through the disappointment in myself, the self-loathing, Like, but fuck you,
if you're
lazy
taking
shit.
2 months off from recording and doing something on the back end, as long as you're always doing something that is reaching that goal of getting where you want to get next, then it's okay.
I agree to a point, except you don't know how many fucking hours I've spent playing Xbox this past month.
Touche.
I'm shouldering my depression with, you know, things I know I love. So I got re-into a game that I used, came out in like 2010, 2011. And I played probably about 72 hours in the last month. You know what I mean?
You're a gamer.
So I am, but I have not been because I've been so determined and driven and like, I don't have time to watch TV and shit really. But yeah, so I agree, except I've been using my time in a non-progressive way. Like I've been doing little things to keep me from hating
sometimes
myself.
Sometimes you need those little low points. Yeah. You know, you gotta embrace your lows just like you embrace your highs.
I you know, and it took me a little while, but I'm here. We're here. Episode 50 something. I can't remember if it's 51 or 52, but
it's close to my age.
It's all good. Oh, shut the fuck up, dude. I'm gonna turn 30 in 2 years, dude.
Oh my god.
Time to kill myself. Told my mom and my dad.
Things change when you turn 30.
No, they don't.
In a good way. Yes, they do, dude. Yes, they do.
Nothing will be different when I turn 30.
Your mindset will change. We watch.
Well, I hope
it's
not
like the
because
big fuck
I
it
this
switch.
Is no. I hope not because I have taken a lot of drugs to make sure I've been on this up path and making sure I'm on a trajectory.
I'm just it's an up. It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing.
Okay. But you made it sound like it was dismal.
No. It's like, but it's just like people said that to me when I was getting ready to turn 30. I'm just like, psh, whatever. And then I was like, dude, they weren't lying. Like being in your 30s is cool as shit, bro. All right,
well, if you don't get murdered by the time I turn 30 something, I'll let you know how it is, dude.
I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, me too. I think it'll be cool. I think, you know, is irresponsible as this sounds, like, right now, I'm at such a low level with the things I like to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm seeing the progress. I'm seeing the way that people and I or whatever can grow in like what I love to do, which is podcasting and comedy at this point. If I just keep doing it and keep knowing how and when to grow, I'll be fine. Like if I just keep doing it and
you know
I've
what
been
you need.
Pretty good. A calendar? I have one.
No, you need more sessions with Alexis Chardet. Yeah. And life coaching comedians.
Alexa Chardet, please tell me why I hate myself. Just kidding. I really don't hate myself that much, honestly. There's things about me that I do hate, but
Peter Jordan hates himself.
Oh, yeah. He hates himself.
We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, it's funny, man. It's I've never had a friend, like a close friend. I consider Peter one of my best friends by now, honestly. I've never had someone that I had to be like, hey, man, calm down, dude, calm down.
Yeah.
I've always been the one that needed someone to check me, like, and I never had that person for
so
a long time.
So it sounds like Peter's like a reflection of you, and you guys are like,
I see so much of myself in Peter.
You guys need each other,
vice versa. But honestly, we've shared so many stories, and you only got about an hour out of him or so. But I'm telling you, we've lived not a similar life, but we've experienced the same roller coaster of emotions at the same points in time, whatever, right? And me knowing how easily he flies off or how passive aggressive he can get when he's annoyed or whatever. Like, I have to be the one to be like, hey, man, no. Chill the fuck out, dude. Yeah. I've never done that to anybody before.
Yeah.
And it's really weird. I feel like I'm in a new relationship. I'm like, how do I handle this motherfucker?
That's great.
Yeah, it really is. And me and him just talk all day. We run jokes and bits off each other. And just our conversations sometimes lead to jokes. Like, and it's just a really healthy thing to be doing.
I see this flourishing into not only a beautiful friendship, but probably an amazing comedic duo.
I will tell you one thing right now. We are releasing a podcast together.
Awesome.
It's a educational podcast. Mm. We're just going to be learning things.
Oh, together. Like you guys are going to be learning stuff.
Yeah.
And then teaching your audience what you learn or.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's going to be fact-based, no opinions. So whatever the fact that's presented is the learning point. But then our opinions on it, what we thought about that fact. Like, okay, so let's just say like answer like the highest. It's like the highest level of protein per weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like ants really do carry that. If someone said that, I'd have a story where my cousin really did tell me that ants are good for you. And if you eat ants, you get lots of protein, you get stronger. I was sitting on the steps of my grandma's trailer eating ants off the wood. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm gonna get so strong. Like just like little.
Is this a true story?
I swear to God, I'm not fucking with you. Yeah, I'm not kidding. I was like on her fucking wooden ass front steps eating ants, convincing my little sister, like, yeah, no, this is good. Like Jerome said, whatever, right? And if he had a story about what he thought about ants, it's just like that. Yeah. We learn, and then we like...
Is that why you're so thick now? All those ants you ate?
Hell yeah, dude. Black ants will make you get black ass. You know, just like, whoa, pa, pa, pa.
Thick boy.
Fucking out here jiggling. No, honestly, my ass is so diminished. It's so fucking sad. I had a fatty when I was like, I played sports my whole life, whatever, and skateboarded. And so after I got in my accident, dude, I just don't do anything anymore at all other than work. There's a lot of physicality with the work, but no butt stuff.
No butt stuff. No homo.
No butt stuff. Oh, whatever. All homo if you want, if you like it. But it's just like, but it's like, it's funny. I have no ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at a weight where I should have some, you know? And I don't have any, and it's pretty fucked up. I have thick ass thighs, but does not transcend to the glutes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Thighs are solid, butt pretty solid, but small.
Yeah,
too small for my body. You know?
Were you a baseball player?
Never. I cared about how I was perceived in high school, so I never played baseball.
What did you play?
Football and basketball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't play basketball on the team because my football coach wouldn't let me. You know?
Politics.
Yeah. And they bled into each other, too. The seasons did, so that never worked out. But football, from the time I was, like, 10, all the way through high school.
Okay.
Yeah. I loved it so much. And then, like, maybe fifth game of my senior year, I got hurt really bad. My shoulder got hurt really bad. And I never played again, so...
Shoulder injuries are the worst.
They're the worst, and you can't really do anything about them unless you, like, really fuck them up, you know? I tore some stuff in my rotator cuff and never got it addressed. They told me that, you know, you can get surgery, you'll heal in 4 months, or 2 months, sorry, and then, or you can just let it heal naturally for 4 months. And I was like, well, it doesn't
matter. It really takes years to let it heal naturally.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I don't have a time for, you know, surgery. Because the football is going to be done by then, and I'll just let it heal. And then I just didn't let it heal properly. So, yep, now I can't bench a whole lot. And I couldn't either anyways. But every time, like, it gets really strenuous, like pushing motion, I'm like, it really does suck.
Yeah.
And I have a bad back now, too, from the accident. Dude,
a damper in your sex life.
I'm over it. There's no sex life, dude. And you know what, though? Honestly... I keep it that way, halfway, like 90%.
Which shoulder was it? Your right or your left?
Left.
Okay.
Oh, I'm good. Yeah. Like, yeah. Sexually speaking, my dick shoulder. No, I've gone on a couple dates and stuff. Just not for me, dude. Like,
yeah, it really isn't. Bro.
The emotional, attention that I have to give. For the people that I've went out on dates with specifically, at least to feel like they're, you know, wanted or valued, it's too much for me.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't just know that I enjoy your company and you don't have to get, like, validated, and this goes for men and women, fucking non-binary, it doesn't matter, dude. Like, I don't want to have to try. I know it sounds so bad, but I've tried. And it's just like, I don't like myself in like a typical monogamous relationship trying to make it work.
If the communication is there and the, you know, body language is on point, you understand how you both communicate, then you shouldn't have to try.
Yeah, but then there's a thing, though. The communication and body language can be fine. Well, actually, the communication, here's the last issue I came across. The girlfriend said, I love you for who you are, everything you do, everything you're about. I'm on it, right? I'm like, wow, well, that means a lot because I'm not very typical, right? And it's like, okay, cool. And we go on loving each other, and love is easy. Love is the easy part. Like, that's really easy. To love somebody does not take much. But then she started, like, telling me all these things that she didn't like that I was doing. I'm like, well, you said in the beginning that you were cool with it and you had no problem, and that's a big part of my life. And I'm not going to go into details, but she pretty much just kind of, like, you know, flipped on me and then expected me to conform totally. And I think that's And I think that's an extreme of that situation. But I do generally think unless you sit down and talk it out, which I have, I've been in the perfect situation before. The situation I desired, I've been in. And when she left, it was like, okay, cool. Well,
I had it. I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep,
and when I see you next, it'll be a big ass hug. If you want to hold hands on the street, I'll do it. And I still won't fucking bother you when you leave. it was perfect. And I just think that my prerequisites to share myself in that way are so specifically open. Like, I just don't want to have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know we're cool. Mm-hmm. And when I see you, it's amazing. If you're not feeling well, I'll ask what's wrong. I don't want to have to fucking feel like I have to do anything. And that's why I'll probably be single forever, dude.
Well, the idea is two people are supposed to complement each other.
Strictly, dude.
Like, it's not, it's people fall into this codependency, like, yeah, way too hard, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you shouldn't ever need another person to feel validated. Yeah. You need to feel validated in yourself.
Yep. And I love...
Otherwise, you're going to attract someone else that feels like... You're going to attract a reflection of you.
Or someone who will lie to make you feel the way they think you need to feel.
Yeah.
Which is... I was that person, too, at one point in time, mm-hmm, like, when I was younger. So I've, like, lived the spectrum. You know, I've had girlfriends. I was engaged at one point in time. Mm-hmm. I'm not, like, destroyed by love. It's not like I'm bitter because of this... Never been cheated on, to my knowledge. No one ever really fucked me over. It's always been just me going, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, this is not how I want to spend the rest of my days. There, if that's the
other
expectation.
Types and forms of love that you can have to keep yourself satisfied, including self-love. You know?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
With that self-love stuff, I'm honestly pretty good. Like, I acknowledge myself for who I am, and I acknowledge that I have all the power to change the things that I'm not 100% happy with.
Mm-hmm.
But life isn't about being 100% happy either. You can't reach that and sustain that for too long, you know? I just know that the way I think about life is okay.
Yeah.
I've lived it, this thinking about life this way this long, and I've been doing the things I'd like to do, and it's going well.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no incentive to change what I've been doing, and that also includes... You know, relationships. Like, I'm good off that shit right mm-hmm. now. I'm making too much progress inwards and in my craft to just kind of, like, chance it.
Yeah.
Because last time, I changed because mm-hmm. I was like, I'll give the societal expectational, like, shot at a relationship. Mm-hmm. Just like how I went against everything that I really thought of, and I gave it a goddamn good shot, dude. I conformed. I met in the middle with her on shit that I didn't want to meet in the middle with, and I tried it because mm-hmm. some people can sustain that and be okay. And like mm-hmm. some things don't matter that much to people, but can do it. And I can't, so I'm good. And my mom gets so bummed out. She's like, aww, you're going to be so alone. I'm like, no, yeah, but
we
not
were born
lonely
alone.
Though.
Yeah.
I'm never lonely, dude. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I've never like sat in my house and been like, I really wish I had, you know, someone here right now with me. It's like, no, not really, dude.
Yeah.
It's nice when it comes, but I don't give a fuck.
Like, yeah.
Gotta keep working on yourself.
I feel like mediocre people need a partner to get them to change the way that they need to change.
Yeah.
And a real person with a lot of heart learns how to change on their own.
Yeah. Yep. And along the road, I will meet people like I have already that will view it in the same light as I. We will have a great friendship and continue mm-hmm. to have a great friendship past whatever happens.
Yeah.
Because there's not like a proprietary aspect attached to whatever we have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no like, you know, what did you, why would you do this to me? Like, there's none of that. There's none of like, why haven't you texted me? Like, why haven't you said something to me? And I'm like, hey, man.
Yeah.
You need me?
Yeah.
Well, then just fucking call if you need. Don't fucking be all like, well,
no one can read your mind.
And then when I get like that, when I go, why do you need? And then in a typical situation, whoever it is that your significant other usually will go, why the fuck are you being like that to me? I'm like, what the? I'm not even being anything like that to anybody. Like, why do you need me?
Oh, my goodness.
But anyways. So I just have a lot of really great friends. Some of them touch my butt, you know,
and some
give me besos, dude. And it's a great life I'm living so far.
Yeah.
There's a lot of aspects that people could look at in my life that they would view as not going great. But, dude, mm-hmm. I've been really happy.
To each its own, you know?
Yeah, for real.
I mean, I personally this year would like to manifest a new partner.
Okay.
Because I think I'm ready. I've been single most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very significant relationship that lasted about 2 years, and it was the best relationship I ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Until we discovered that we both have a lot of healing that still needs to be done.
Sure.
And didn't end the best, but we are really good friends now.
So now is one of those things that you're hoping we'll circle back to later?
If, maybe.
Okay.
I mean... You know, I definitely think that is a soulmate situation, mm-hmm. but I do believe you can have more than one soulmate.
Yeah.
And if it happens, it happens. But, and him and I have discussed this before where I told him, you know, that, that it was the greatest relationship that I ever had when it was good. And I don't think I could find that again. And he said something really deep to me and he was just like, well, if you believe that you're not going to find it, then you won't.
Right.
And I was like, wow.
And you can for sure.
Yeah.
I'll be one to tell you, I've like loved on the same level three different times in my life. And it's all real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all just as, not new, but it is new because it's not the love you knew. Like,
mm-hmm.
you love everyone differently.
Yeah.
No one can love the same. You know?
Yeah, it's and not so, going to be the same, but it could be on that same level.
It could
level.
Be better.
Yeah, it could be better.
It is good. It could be worse, which is usually what you're going to experience. Like, honestly, there's, if you know yourself through and through and you know yourself well enough, and I believe you do, I believe I do, then you know what you will not fucking like you will not work with it. You can't take a chance on certain.
Don't settle.
No, you recognize a characteristic. Do not give that person a chance until they don't have it anymore. If you know that's a fucking issue.
Yeah.
Find someone you enjoy and their quirks and their annoyances don't make you pissed, and then work it out.
Like, I still think that there is a lesson that I need to learn. I mean, I know what it is, but I need to practice it, and that is really truly putting myself first. And this has been a pattern that I've noticed almost my whole life. And now that I've been like trying to date it again, I've been seeing it coming up again. And what it is I'm a very giving person by nature. I mean, like,
that's how you show love, dude. Your love language is gifts. That's why when we come over for the meetings, you
there's
have a
always
fucking
food.
Spread, dude.
Yeah.
First
yeah.
thing you ask me when I walk in, you want some water? I'm like, that's how I am too. Like, I'm a very gracious host, and that's how I hope it's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that I don't need to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't need to tell you, hey, I love you. Look what I did for you.
Like,
if you make me guacamole, bro, we're good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that is an effort past most people will ever give.
Yeah.
So, I
so
like it.
That's definitely my love language is giving quality time, quality conversations.
Yes.
I do say I love you to people I love.
Yeah.
And I have a friend that I tell him I love you and he thinks it's so weird because he's like, love is, I'm like, no, you are love. We are love. Everything is love, you know?
This is how I think you can, if you want like a love for dummies situation, think about somebody, okay? If you don't know if you love them or not, think about them. If they called you right now and didn't give context and you heard it in their voice that they needed you, like if you call someone and they go, I need you right now, man. Like, I really need you right now. Please, like, just whatever. If you say yes to that, that's a good way. That's a good place to start if you love somebody.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, some people have to think a little harder.
Uh-huh.
Some people have been, you know, shown that that pattern can be terrible in some people.
I feel like people make it a romantic thing too, you know?
Yeah,
like you can only say I love you if you love someone romantically.
There's levels of that shit. Yeah. Like, love isn't just one thing. It's just, you know, it's how you care, but it's also about like, not, it's about how much you care, but how you care, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could say I love you to you. I love you, right?
I love you, Bubba.
But the moment the tonality changes, the moment the body language changes, the moment the situation changes, we're in like a parking lot. We've been talking for 3 hours. I'm like,
I put my hand on that thick thigh.
I love you. And it's just like, that means something completely different.
Yeah.
But it's all encompassing.
Yeah.
And so people get really mixed up in that gray area.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
Like, you what me?
Life is not black and white.
No. Yeah. Well, you're black and white, but so Alexi is. But
there's different shades. Like, if you look at a black and white photo, it's really a bunch of different shades of gray.
50 shades of Sade. Whoa.
Oh my God. That's
Can we
gonna
get
be
a sex
my
confessional?
Sex pet Oh, wow. You don't want to hear
your
my
daughter
sex
turns
confessionals.
18 and then just put it out there. Or maybe 16. Who knows?
No, I'll wait until she turns 18. That would be good when I'm like, am I old? Like,
what if her mind is mature
Spencer
to
days.
Accept it and be like, yeah,
Spencer.
Okay. I know what you meant. Spinster, I don't know what that means out of context, but I know what I think I know what you did mean, and that's fine.
Never heard of an old spinster.
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 Spinsters sound like drug addicts.
No, it's like a cougar, but worse. Like the old spinster.
I like cougars though, dude. I'm really into it, honestly. Not old ladies. Not like Derek.
Yeah.
Not like McFarlane, but dude, he is telling you, man. I lived with him. He has brought home.
So that's true. He really does like old ladies.
I'm telling you right now, I love Derek, and it's not even a bad thing about him. He fucks old women.
Is that how he gets his bills paid?
Often. No, he's his own man. Pays his own bills. But, you know, some of the people he's brought through, I'm like, oh my God. You're fucking her.
Like, that's, you know, amazing. What
I mean? Like at the time, like I was with my ex girlfriend, we would be there, and he'd come in with like a date or something. We were like, oh my god, bro,
that's awesome.
Crazy. And the whole, if you doesn't know Derek McFarlane, we did have an episode together. Yeah, all my friends. Real story. He like fucked some older lady. I think she was 63. And she crocheted him a bookmark afterwards.
Yeah, he has a bit about that.
I thought
it was a lie.
Dude, it's not only a bit, it's a real. He has it. And I told him, like, you need to bring that bookmark when you go to clubs and close with that. You need to bring it.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, that's a really good idea. And he has a legit bookmark. And she, I guess she's really sweet.
That's amazing.
He's a deviant, bro.
That makes me, like, respect him even more as a comedian that he's telling, like, real-life shit on stage.
Derek started fucking late into the game, too. He's like, hey, what's up?
Yeah,
I'm just trying to see if it's still wet, dude. You know? That's a good note to end on.
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to Derek McFarlane's sexual deviancy. And now to wrap up the podcast, Lexis Chardet, please tell everybody where they can find you on social media. Plug the show one more time. Plug your podcast. Everything. Floor is yours.
Well, you can find me on IG. That's where I'm most active, at Lexis Chardet, LexisSharde. Also on Facebook. You can check out my website, lifecoachingcomedians.com,
yes,
where you can see my show dates, mm-hmm, information about my podcast, seasons, episodes, etc.
LexisCharde.com?
Yes. No. Lifecoachingcomedians.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And one more time, when is the date for Stir Crazy?
Sunday, March 15th. Doors open at 6. Show starts at 7. Buy your tickets at stircrazycomedyclub.com/shows.
Fucking pimp. And guys, not only will you be supporting Lexis, you'll be supporting me in my craft. Please come and laugh at me or with me. Just laugh. And we love you very much. Again, shout out to Manscaped for the sponsorship. Please go to manscaped.com and enter the code TIRED for 20% off and free shipping. Shout out to Kova Coffee Roasters for always being an OG supporter. Head over to Kova.com and enter code COBA5 for $5 off your first order. I've been Bubba McComb, aka Sad Boy Shinobi, aka the Suffering Succotash, aka the Wet Blanket. I have dates coming up tomorrow, February 1st. I'll be at Trumbull's in Tempe. If you're an East Valley boy, come say hi. And I've got shows coming up through February, kind of stacked. I'm very excited. So I'll be releasing a little thing to BubbaMcComb.com for all that stuff. You can find Lexis Chardet's podcast on the website, on Apple, on Spotify, on Stitcher, everywhere. So thank you so much for supporting the podcast. If you'd like to make a donation, please head over to anchor.fm/hellatiredpodcast/support. $1, $5, and $10 options available. If you support me, I'll write you a personal letter and I'll give you a shout out on the podcast. I love you so much. Bye.